Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is also about, you see, gathering people to God forever. It's from the book of Revelation. As I say, that's the sort of the theme of these liturgies today, these readings. The part we have is chapter 7, an introductory verse, verse 9, and then verses 14 to 17. But I want to go back a bit. The prophetic visions in the book of Revelation begin in chapter 4. And this Bible of Jerusalem entitles that section, God entrusts the future of the world to the Lamb. Only love is credible. You see, the love of the Lamb who laid down his life for us, okay? And so we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but it's these prophetic visions. This is John the mystic telling us what heaven is really like. Other people, other saints, have been given a vision of heaven to awaken their thirst and to awaken ours for where we're going, so that we have a real sense of what life is all about. We can get so preoccupied with money and pleasure and success and travel and amusement and that we forget we're on a pilgrimage going to end. And we're going to be judged. And if we've been trying to be faithful to the Lord, and we've let him work in us and around us, you know, even though, as Saint Therese, she said, you know, she suffered a lot in this life, interiorly, you know, almost the total absence of God toward the end of her life. Heaven was the thing that kept her going. And all of a sudden, on every level but one tiny point of her spirit, she was convinced, I'm going to die, they'll throw my body into a hole in the ground, and that's it. And you see, because she clung to that truth that was deeper, in a way, it's my term, but she's sort of become the patron saint of atheists. You see, by that clinging, how many people have been brought around to believe in God and to trust him, and then when they die, to meet him. You see? And so we have this fourth chapter, and then the fifth, and then finally the sixth, where these seals are being broken. And then finally, we come to the chapter that we're working at here. And remember, this is John the mystic telling us what life is like. This is the book of Revelation. This is the Apocalypse. This is the revelation of where all reality goes, heading. And it's meant to encourage us. So, I'm going to start earlier than the exact reading. There's been talk about these seals and the wrath. Then chapter 7, next I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the world back to keep them from blowing over the land or the sea or the trees. Then I saw another angel rising where the sun rises, carrying the seal of the living God. He called in a powerful voice to the four angels whose duty it was to devastate land and sea. Wait, before you do any damage on land or sea or to the trees, until we have put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And then I heard how many were sealed, 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel. 12 tribes, you see, 12,000 from each tribe. Now, you see, the Jewish tradition is that the people have to be gathered together in order for the completion of God's plan. And they're not. They're scattered all over the globe. However, you see where the completion of God's plan is. It's in heaven. And there, all the 12 tribes are gathered once again. And from each tribe, there's 12,000. And so he goes through these, you see, the tribe of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, you see? And so, this completion of God's plan. So, the role of the Messiah to gather God's people together again has been completed, not here, but in heaven, where the 12 tribes are gathered again, those who were faithful to the Lord and obeyed the Lamb. They are there forever, you see? And then, and this is the part we have for our text today, we really start a little later, but I want to look at some other things first. I saw a huge number, impossible to count, of people from every nation, race, tribe, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palms in their hands. They shouted, "Victory to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels who were standing in a circle around the throne, surrounding the elders and the four animals, prostrated themselves. This is supposed to give us a glorious vision of where we're going, what life is all about, you see? And then, from the part that we have in the... here it is. See, a multitude which no one could count. Then one of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So there is distress. But with distress goes the presence of the Lord Christ. It will not be you speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking. I will be suffering in you. You know, there's a famous story. There were two martyrs, Felicity and Perpetua. One was the servant of the other. And the younger one, the servant one, was having a baby in jail, waiting to be martyred. And the jailer heard her moaning and groaning, and he hollered in, "If you're going to make all that noise when you're just giving birth, what are you going to do when you get out there in that amphitheater?" And she hollered back, "Here, I'm suffering. There, another suffers in me." She's identified with Christ. So that's what this text is telling us, you see. So where do these people come from? This ancient asks him. I answered him, "You can tell me, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the people who have been through the great persecution, which is not over. And they now stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his sanctuary, and the one who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them." And then, reviving the promises from Isaiah, "They will never hunger or thirst again. Neither the sun nor scorching wind will ever plague them, because the Lamb who is at the throne will be their shepherd and lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes." There is an end to this. And those who have tried to be faithful to the Lord, they will be, you see, no longer hunger or thirst. You see, the Lamb who is at the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to springs of living water, not just physical water, knowledge of God, worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and kept alive by this vision, which takes its root right in us. In heaven, we live by the life of the Trinity imparted to us. What keeps us alive, body and soul, for eternity is the very Trinitarian life itself. And that's what this text is telling us, you see? And so, this is to look up, to see where we're going, You know, like the great saints yearn for heaven, not just because it's nice, but because it's God. See God, love God, worship God, never again ever lose God. You see? And that's why the church has this text here as we're in this Sunday. And we're, you see, getting ready to profit, to rejoice, to enjoy the fruit of the cross of Jesus Christ, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. I don't care about the shame or the pain. I want my people. I want my people to be with me. And I am going to open the way to my own death, my own act of love on the cross. I will open the way, you see? And so we will see Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. Not only because of his own happiness, but because of us. And so, you see, this Sunday is this theme of gathering God's people. At the heart of all of this, as we've been looking at these texts, is love, right? Only love is believable. What other plan could come any other way? This is a plan of love, grounded on the act of love in which the Son of God, in his own humanity, suffered and lived and rose and pours out his Spirit on us. And that's what it's all about. And so we have this this text. Look up, my friends. See where you're going. Trust God. He doesn't lie. He's promised you that if you will listen to him and obey him, that you will love each other, that you will tell others about him, that you will obey him in trust and love, you will be one of those 144,000 forever. Forever. You see how the whole theme is gathering a people. And the drive of that is love. And that's why this theme, only love is credible. Love is presented to us, and we can yield to it, accept it. It's credible. It elicits this response from us. So it's not just formulae of dogma that is elicited, as it says in Romans there, you know, the pattern of faith to which you have been entrusted, which is a true thing, the pattern, the creed, and so forth, to which you have been entrusted, not entrusted to you. But there's more. There is the living vision of God himself, light of our light, life of our life forever. And that is the fruit of the act of love that our Lord Jesus Christ did in pain on the cross. But you see, for the joy set before him, which is us, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Amen.